Not bad. Right, well, I've discovered something this morning that we may sing our hearts out about being God's children, but good children stop talking when they're told to and sit down. So I don't think you're really very good children. There, though, that's the spanking bit over. I think for once in my life, I'm really delighted to be here. Not in church, I don't mean, but delighted to be in the pulpit. Because it's been quite an interesting journey, really. And I'm glad I'm sitting down, because it's certainly not preach this morning, it is a chat. But it's had an interesting unfolding. Because I shall have to give you times and dates, otherwise it doesn't fit. But on Thursday, Tim phoned and asked me if I'd do a 10-minute testimony this morning about my mobile phone. Now, my reaction to that was to say, oh, Tim, I can't, they've all heard it. And he said, well, I hadn't, and I think it's wonderful. And I said, all right, I'll just pray about it. And it was yes to doing the testimony. And then I asked for a few more minutes, because with that testimony, it needed to go a quote of somebody's. So I needed a bit more than 10 minutes. And to cut a long story short, by Friday lunchtime, it had developed into a 30-hour, not 30-hour. Breathe a sigh of relief, preach. So it's a 30-minute preach this morning, and as I say, it's been amazing really, because God has just unpacked it, and even I have enjoyed it. That's just amazing. Can I have the scripture up, please? Now, I'm not going to actually do a Bible reading, because I felt I would fish round for an applicable one, and I want you just to read these words quietly to yourself, almost out loud inside. I want them to register, and I'll start there as a backdrop this morning. I have to just play tribute and hope we're appreciative, really, of the way things are prayed through, because that brings security. And I am here this morning because Tim had prayed this through. And I know without any shadow of doubt that the response he gave to God and then to me was of God. And I don't know quite how to say this tactfully, but I really, really, really can't take any glory for it at all, because he has just given it to me almost on a plate. And I have to tell you the beginning of the story in order to be able to tell you the rest. And if you've heard it before, you can go to sleep, or you can just have it re-quickened, because there is little over the past years that has impacted my life to the degree that this has. And it was, I think, 6 weeks ago, and I'd been at one of my little grandson's parties at Soham on Sunday lunchtime, and I'd come home and gone to send a message or find a message on my mobile phone, only to find it wasn't there. And some of you, all of you, know the feeling when you've lost something and you're desperately looking for it. And I searched everywhere, turned out all my bags, turned out all my pockets, thought I must have put it down, it must have been on the arm of a chair and gone down the side of the chair, or I dropped it and it went under the chair, under the sofa. Ah, I know, it's at Soham still. So I did that first, phone Soham, no, it wasn't there. Well, it must be in the car. So I turned the car out, no, it's not there. And you get that build-up of frantic feeling, you know the feeling when you think it must be somewhere. And because I've now, I don't know how I got it really, because I got it at the same price as the old one on my lease, I've now got a smartphone, it's got everything on it, photos and phone numbers and everything on it. And I needed it. And so I look again through everything, I pull the chairs out, I get all the cushions off, I go through the bags all over again, and it's not there. Then I remember that on my iPad, it does say, find your phone. So I press the button that says, find your phone, and it tells me it's in Houghton's Lane where I live, in my house. And so I ring it, I've done rung it lots of times, and there's no, it's not ringing anywhere at all. So I turn everything out again and go through it all again and still don't find it. And I've got a couple coming at tea time that I didn't actually know very well. So I wanted to be on my best behaviour for them. And they were coming to chat anyway. So I thought, right, Audrey, forget your mobile phone, concentrate on what you're doing. So I did, we had tea. And then Yvonne actually popped down after church. And I knew what she'd say. She said straight away, let me look again. So I said, no, Yvonne, we're not looking anymore. I've looked everywhere and I can't find it. So she said, well, let me just look in the car because I can get down easy. All right, you can look in the car. No, it's not there. So she goes home and about 10:45, I sit down in my chair and I say, Lord, you know where this phone is. Please tell me. And I don't think I heard a voice, but the word freezer came to mind, freezer. And I thought, and don't tell me you never think like this, because I think we do. And I thought, I don't think that's God. I think that's just me thinking of a word. So probably I shouldn't be asking the Almighty God that sort of question anyway. So I use my lots and I say, Lord, should I have asked you this question? Yes. And is it in my freezer? Yes. I've got a freezer that is nearly as long as this platform, which is ridiculous, and it's always full. And it's in the garage. I don't go in the garage much at night because there's windows open to the fields. So I thought, well, I'm not looking for it now anyway, so I'm going to bed. So I went to bed and slept. Got up in the morning and thought, right, here we go, freezer. And I thought, the only thing is, I did get some scones out of the freezer for tea. And the scones are kept at the little end where the ice cream is. So it must be in that end. So I go into my garage, I turn out the little end and it's not there. So I look at the rest and I think, oh my goodness. It's full of plastic bags. That's my filing system for the freezer. A plastic bag with meat in, a plastic bag with vegetables in, another plastic bag with vegetables in, another plastic bag with bits in, so on. And it's stacked with these big plastic bags right to the top. I don't empty my freezer anymore. The bags are too heavy and it's too far down for me to get. So I get it emptied for me, which is wonderful. But that morning, about 8 I suppose, I'm lugging these great bags out of the freezer, thinking, if that fell in, it's gone in one of these bags. I'm going to have to unpack these bags one by one if it's in here. If it's in here. That's called faith, if it's in here. Anyway, I eventually get all the bags out and I've got a freezer lined with ice. Ice down the side, all the sides, and ice across the bottom. And in the middle of the bottom ice sits my mobile phone. A black mobile phone on the white ice, and it's been there for at least 16-17 hours. And I think, oh, I found it. That makes all the difference, just that I found it, but it won't work. And I switch it on, it doesn't work. So I put that on the side, and I put all my bags back in the freezer and put the lid down and think, thank you, Lord, it was in the freezer. And then I switch it on and it works. And it still works. And I know that, and I should cry probably, that was my personal miracle. Yeah. And it was for me, and I'm sharing it with you, and it's not the same when it's passed on. But I know, as I've never known before in my life, that God cares about every single detail of my life.
Yes.
And as Helen read and Kim shared about, you know, the house that's built on the rock stands. And somewhere there's an extra rock in my foundation that stands because of that phone being found. Because I know that I know that I know that he cares. Now, I've promised God that I would tell everyone. So I told my hairdresser when I had my hair cut. I told the healthcare assistant when I went for a blood test. And I've told some of, lots of you, I feel anyway. But I said to my girls, I need to tell everyone, and Sue offered to put it on High Street Facebook, so some of you are ready. But I said, I can't put it on without something else. Because you're going to hear that story and think, why doesn't God do that for me? I've been praying about this or that for years, and nothing's happened. And I wanted to say, God is faithful. He is faithful. And so I added to it something I'd listened to the next night when I switched the 10 o'clock news on. It was the last 5 minutes of an Andy Croft preach on Channel 65, TBN. And before I turned to Channel 1 for the news, I listened to the last 5 minutes. Now, I love Andy Croft. He's a lovely preacher. He's simple and gentle and humble and real. Now I should embarrass him, but I always think he's a bit like an older George Clanabold. You know what I mean? He's got a very... So I know now what you'll look when you're about 40, George, but anyway, just be warned. Anyway, when I heard him preach that last 5 minutes, I want to share with you what he said, because again, I cannot get it out of my heart. And he said this. He said, we easily forget that Joseph was in Egypt for 13 years. He said, for 13 years he was in Egypt. For 4,745 days, Joseph was in Egypt, trusting God day by day. For 4,745 days, every day he trusted God. And he said he had a really difficult time, as most of you know. He went through incredible hardship. He got forgotten and neglected and blamed and all sorts of things, awful times. And every day, for 4,745 days, he chose to trust God. And then he said this. He said, do you do that? Do I? And I think, no, I don't. And he said, I have to tell you that recently, over recent months, he said, I've spent many days weeping my way through the day. I've chosen not to trust God those days. And he said, I don't feel God blames me, I feel he understands. Because he said, my wife is pregnant with our third son. And he said, she's about to deliver in 3 weeks. And he said, at the very beginning of the pregnancy, they warned us that the baby would probably die in the womb. It's got a serious heart defect. And if he didn't, the moment he was delivered, he would have to have surgery for this heart defect. And he said, that has affected me so deeply that I've spent days weeping. He said, that was my choice. I could have chosen to trust God. I chose to weep. He said, I'm a human and my emotions took over and I let them. But he said, I could have trusted God for all of those days as much as Joseph did. Say it with me, 4,745 days. How many? 4,745 days. And for you and me, today is today. And every today is today. And we have a choice. Now, I thought, I'm just going to find out if she's had it yet, because this was a preach, obviously, from somewhere, and if she's had the baby yet. And I Googled him. And I discovered that the baby had been delivered, had had the operation, and 2 months on is doing really well. Isn't that wonderful? And it might not have been like that, because not all babies do live. Some babies die. Anyway, I said to Tim, could I just add that bit to the testimony and have a few minutes more than the 10 minutes I was allocated. But then, the next morning, Friday morning, my Bible reading was Mark 5. And as I read it, God really, really spoke to me. And so Tim prayed it through and said I could have 30 minutes. So here I am. And this is the bit that was added. In Mark 5, we read a sort of recalling of the story of John the Baptist. Because Herod has heard of the miracles of Jesus. And he thinks this is John the Baptist come back to life, although he's killed him. It wasn't, of course. But Herod, in Mark 5, it records how Herod remembers. And Herod remembers how much he respected John the Baptist, yet hated him. And he respected him because he liked to listen to him. He spoke wisdom, common sense, if you like, to Herod. He hated him because John the Baptist told him that he shouldn't have been married to his wife. And Herod didn't like that, and his wife certainly didn't like him. And she pleaded with her husband, Herod, all the time to have John the Baptist killed, not just thrown in prison, which is what he'd done. She wanted him dead, not just in prison. But he couldn't bring himself to put him to death because there was something about him that was special, and he knew he shouldn't kill him. And also, he felt that people would strongly object if he killed him. Because they'd respected John the Baptist. They'd heard him preach. They'd been baptized, repented of their sins, and been baptized as a result of John the Baptist's preaching. He didn't baptize Jesus. So Herod wouldn't put him to death. But he had a stepdaughter called Herodias. And she was called to dance at Herod's birthday party. And she danced so beautifully, and Herod had probably had a bit too much to drink, and people were just applauding her all the time, that in a generous spirit, probably out of control, he said, I'll give you for dancing like this anything you ask for, even if it's half my kingdom. You can have it, my dear, you can have it. And she went to her mum and said, Herod says, I can have whatever I like. I don't know what to ask for. And her mother says, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. And I can get my own way. Ladies, how often do we say, I can get my own way? And she, through her daughter, got her own way. And her daughter said to Herod, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And Herod thought, oh no, I can't kill John the Baptist. I can't. But all these people are watching me. They heard what I promised. I've got to keep my promise. So he sends soldiers to the cell where John the Baptist is sitting. John the Baptist is used to the soldiers opening the cell and chatting with him. Doesn't think anything of it. After all, God's in control. Is he? God's in control. And the soldier opens the door and they go in, and I won't go into all the gory details, but one of them is carrying a chopper. And back into Herod's hands, who hands it to his daughter, is the head of John the Baptist on the plate. Has God gone to sleep? Does God not love John the Baptist? Doesn't he care that this is happening? What's happening? Where is a faithful God who is faithful to me over my mobile phone, faithful to Andy, what his name is, Calvin, Croft? Isn't he faithful to John the Baptist, who is called specifically a part of the Christmas story? Mary's baby Jesus leaps in her womb. No, sorry, Mary visits Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, leaps in the womb because he's called. They know he's called. He's done the works. They've seen him perform the baptisms. They've heard him preach. They've seen him out in the wilderness. They know that he's called. So why is a soldier allowed to walk in with a chopper and chop off his head for the pleasure of a king's daughter? Doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense to me at all. Except if we remember that God, hence the scripture, is past our understanding. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are far beyond our ways, and his thoughts are far beyond our thoughts. And he happens to be always right, and we won't understand. And if you're anything like me, you're fine when it's all sunny. You're fine when God tells you where the mobile phone is, because faith rises with God's goodness to us. But I want to suggest that God's goodness never fails, that he is a good God, he is a faithful God, he never, ever, ever makes a mistake. He knows the end from the beginning of each one of our lives and has before we were born. Sharon, before you were born, Jesus knew you. Geraldine, before you were born, Jesus knew you. Nick, before you were born, Jesus knew you. I can't see people probably up there, but anyone up there, before you were born, Jesus knew you. Andy, before you were born, Jesus knew you. Before you were born, every single one of you, Jesus knew you. And he's faithful. He is faithful. He's faithful through the really dark days, and he's faithful through the good days. But it's in the good days we thank him for his faithfulness. And we've got to be people with roots so strong in God, foundation stones so secure, that we can praise him and know his faithfulness in the dark days. I'm saying it to you, I've got to walk it. And I don't always walk it. But I believe with all the innocence I possess that true trust in God builds faith. That faith is birthed out of a true trust in God. Because if our focus is on who God is, why should we fear? And fear can never dwell with faith. But fear comes if we get our eyes off focusing on God. But the minute we're focused on God, we can be full of faith, because he's a faithful God. He's trustworthy, absolutely and totally to be trusted. Folk from Sizewell may say, what did Audrey talk about? And you can say, well, she talked about a mobile phone, and they'll say, oh, not yet again. And you could say, well, she talked about Andy Croft talking about 4,745 days when Joseph trusted God. Or you could say, which would be the truth, she talked about the faithfulness of God. And that is all I want to leave with you, really. But think about it. I pray it will really seed in, because I believe it's the bedrock of our standing as the people of God. It's the bedrock of our walk being secure. It's the bedrock of the peace that can be in our hearts that we will then radiate to others. It's the bedrock of the world shaking all around us, but us knowing security, because our eyes are fixed on him. And he's a faithful God. He's leading us every step of the way. Can I have the last verse up, Alex, please? That leads on that passage to say this, and we used to sing it. For they will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the fields and the hills will be filled with song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's our focus, folk. That's where we're going. We're heading for a day when the rejoicing will be absolutely all-consuming. When there'll be such praise and such delight that we'll look at, as Tim shared once, this little bit of life as a nothing compared to what we're going to enjoy for eternity.
Amen.
Right now, the going is tough, often tough, very tough for John the Baptist. But our God is faithful. And he knows. and he takes us through the tough places, and we learn to lean on him, if we will, more fully and more fully. He loves dependent children. But one day, that will be forgotten. And in the glory of his presence, we shall live forever. And to him be all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, these dear musicians and singers are used to me, and they must dread me preaching, because I always get an old hymn that runs through my mind, and I think we must sing that to close with, and I ask permission, and I get it, and we sing it. And I did this time. I thought of hymns like, through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart's intending employ. That'd be good. And I thought of trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We changed those words to a different tune that said, when we trust in the Lord and obey, we'll find there's certainly no other way to be happy in Jesus today but to trust in the Lord and obey. That's true. So let's trust in the Lord and obey, for there's certainly no other way to be happy in Jesus today, but to trust in the Lord every day for 4,745 days or more, forever. But instead of that, and you'll be interested in this, I came up with a song that just ran through my mind that's a new song. And as I listened to it being sung, I thought, that's just right. And it's very familiar to us, really. It is new. And I want you to, I'm not going to read the words, I want you to, when it comes up, not yet, when it comes up, I want you to look at the words as you've never looked at them before. And if you're one of those folk who I used to be, who just get uptight about a lot of new songs, I want you to think about the words, because once I started thinking about the words, it changed my attitude. Because many of those words are what I want to say. They are what I want to say. And woe betides us if we switch off from things because on principle we don't like it, when actually the words are what we should be saying and want to say. But just this morning, unfortunately, just before I came out, I thought I will just Google those words again and reread them myself. And what I came up with, I don't even know if the musicians know this, I was amazed, because it came up with the fact that this song was written by a man called Kenny Rogers, and he wrote it as a long, long, long song, ever so long. And out of it came this song, which is shorter. But the song he wrote out of his heart, I was going to say this young man wrote out of his heart, but not just young men write songs, older men can write them too. So perhaps he's an older man, I don't know. But he wrote a song that is so long that I didn't have time to write it down. But I want to read you just one or two lines from that original song. It says, through the years, I can't remember when you weren't there. You've kissed my tears away. I'll stay with you, Lord, through the years. When everything went wrong, together we were strong. I know that I belong right here with you. I've learned what life's about by loving you throughout the years. Isn't that wonderful? I've learnt what life's about by loving you throughout the years. You've never let me down. When things have gone wrong, together we've been strong. I urge you to find it and read it. They're beautiful words. But this morning we're going to sing these words, and please read them and focus them and voice them as never before. They speak the truth.
Hold on, my heart.
On your right and on your left for that solid foundation. Now shall we say the grace to each other? Let's open our eyes and look at each other. May the grace